It's a strange phenomenon that we have in Parshas Chayisara. Tosis points out we have a mutter example of a forbidden phenomenon. Sounds a little paradoxical. Permitted example of something which is us. Tosis points out, that's what the Gemara seems to say in the seventh paragraph of Chulin. A Tuesday night, Chabura is learning Isur v'Heter, Bas B'chav related topics. They center around the seventh and eighth prakim of Chulin. But the seventh and eighth prakim of Chulin have plenty of other topics going on as well. And that Tzadiyeh Mesechah school, and the Gemara is talking about the prohibition against superstition, against Nichush, appears more than once in Chumash. So the Gemara says, if you want to know what constitutes forbidden Nichush, it's not going to be forbidden unless it's like what Eliezer did and what Yonason did. As though Eliezer, this week's Parsha, and Yonason and Sefer Shmuel are paradigms of Iser. Yonasan in Sefer Shmuel attempts a military feat. He takes one staff member with him to make a guerrilla attack from below, from the foothills, against a Pelishti garrison that's on top of the mountain. And he tells his aide de camp, he says, "We're going." There's no Sekalim. He says, "We're going to call up to them, and we'll see. If they say we're coming down to get you, we'll scatter. But if they say, come on up, let's fight up here, then we'll go up and we'll be successful." The Kacham. The Plishtim say, come on up, and they do, and they are remarkably successful. Yonasan and his nose, Kalim, against the overwhelming numbers of the Plishtim. Yonasan, it's a rout. It's a rout in favor of Yonasan. So that, the Gemara says, is an example, that simon that he made, and it sounds like an example of a forbidden superstition. Tosa says, you don't understand. It's Yonasan. Say Yonasan is Russia, or Yonasan is Tzadok. And Tosa says a somewhat similar question from Eliezer. The Gemara says Eliezer is this week's parsha. Turns to Ribbono Shalom, and he davens at the well, and he says, "Hakadosh Baruch Hu, you know, and the girl, I'm going to make this audacious. I'm going to make a reasonable request of a young woman who's going to come by. I'll say, can I have a glass of water? And she gives me a massively larger amount of water. It says, I'll give you a glass of water, also give you hundreds of gallons for all your camels. So then she is the girl of Yitzhak, and once again, as you know, Kachava. He makes a request to Rivka, and it's success on the first try. Rivka says, for sure, follows the script. She says, and Eliezer knows that she's the one. So once again, the Gemara Chulin says that these two, Eliezer and Six Parsha, and Yonas and Sefer Shmuel, they're... You throw them as paragons of virtue, but apparently they're paradigms of sin. It can't be a forbidden nichush unless you do it like them. So Tosis says, what do you mean? So the way the Rishonim explain, Tosis begins in the Ran, the Kesef Mishnah, they say that it is indeed, as we said before, permitted examples of a forbidden act, because the Isser of nichush is defined by two criteria. Yonasan and Eliezer are examples of the first criterion, but they're mutter because they don't fulfill the other one. For the way some of Rishonim present it is as follows: If I leave my umbrella next to the front door, and I always take a peek out the window near the front door, I see what the color that I see out the window determines whether I take the umbrella or not. If I see gray, I take the umbrella. If I see blue, I don't take the umbrella. So does that strike you as a superstition? Probably not. Somewhat sensible. In Baruch Hashem, nowadays we have far more precise ways of at least convincing ourselves that we can predict the weather. But the Rishonim say that's fine. That's mutter because that's scientifically based. If the sky is blue, it's probably not going to rain. If the sky is dark gray, it probably is going to rain. So if it's not going to rain, you don't take an umbrella. If it is going to rain, you take the umbrella. That's the reason, doing something with a rational basis, that's mutter, that's why what Yonasan and Eliezer did was permitted. Because what they did was rationally based. Yonasan was saying, if it makes no sense for that garrison to call us up. They should come down and get us. They have numbers on their side. If they're calling us up, they must be feeling weak. If they're calling us up, and they're not ready to come running down at us, there must be a lack of confidence, there must be something off, and that would be a litmus test, and indeed they said it, and Yonasan said, in that case, if there's reason to believe that we can win. And the same with Eliezer. Eliezer wasn't something random. He was looking for someone who was empathetic and proactive in the extreme in her chesed. I'm going to ask you for a glass of water. And not only would she be glad to give him the glass of water, but she's going to assess the situation, realize that my camels need to drink too, and proactively offer hundreds of gallons of water. That's clearly a woman with an extraordinary sense of chesed, and that's rational basis to choose Rivka. Chazal said that Eliezer was criticized by Chazal criticized Eliezer because there are other things to look at besides chesed. He didn't check anything else before going ahead to Shidduch. But it may not have been wise, but superstitious it wasn't, because there's a rational basis for what he was doing. So then that gets the question, so what is the Gemara saying? In what sense are Eliezer and Yonasan a paradigms of Nichush? The answer is that sometimes you're allowed to do non-rational things as well. Eliezer and Yonasan are, what they did make sense, but what they demonstrated is a scenario where I'm actually acting based on my sign. They were basing behavior on their sign. And you say, well, if she does chesed, that's nice. I'm going to take this girl for Yitzhak if she does chesed. We're going to run up and attack the plishtim if they say, come on up. It wasn't merely a simon. It was actually driving behavior. Whereas, for instance, in Simon Kufayin Tes in Yeridea, it discusses superstition and other occult practices. So the very first topic, Shulchan Aruch says, it's not forbidden to want to schedule a wedding for the first half of the month. It's a common practice to try to get the first half of the month. It's when the moon is growing, assuming that the couple's relationship should continue to grow. So Shulchan Aruch presents it as, I would have thought it's usher to do that. I would have thought it's usher to go for the first half of the month, because that's nichush. How is that going to help? That's just superstitious. The answer is no, it's mutter, because it's not like Yonasan, it's not like Eliezer. I'm not basing behavior on it. If I can't get the first half of the month, I'll take the second half of the month. Then it will be nicer. It's merely an aesthetic. It's a nice simon. It's just like there's a physical aesthetic. You want the tablecloths to be beautiful. You want all the dress, the gowns and the suits to look clean and presentable. And you want the flowers to look great. There's this physical aesthetic. There's a spiritual aesthetic. It's a beautiful simon if you get married when the moon is growing. As a simon, those are our hopes and dreams for this young couple as well. But we don't actually base behavior on it. We don't think that the phase of the moon is actually going to determine the long-term trajectory of the chasen kala. It's a nice simon. So if it's merely a nice simon, then it's mutter, even if there's no rational explanation for how A causes B. But if you're like Yonasan and Eliezer, if you're actually basing behavior, you're being mock-grounded, this is the way I'm going to make decisions, so then you better make sure that your actual decision-making heuristic needs to be rationally based. If it's not, then you're in violation of both conditions, and then you are dealing with the problem of